introductions. Let's go around the table since we have some new faces. I'm Sean Wilkinson. I am the Community and Economic Development Director for Weber County.
I'm Mark Allen. I'm the Mayor of Washington Terrace City, also from Weber County.
John Barber. I'm on the County Council for Morgan County.
Jerry Houghton. I'm the Tooele County Recorder Surveyor.
Myron Bateman, Tooele County Commissioner.
Steve Lyon, Morgan County Economic Development Director.
Sam Clem, staff here at Wasatch Front and staff to the Regional Review Committee, of which you are the members.
Okay. All right. Our next item is to appoint the chair and vice chair for 2017.
Who would like to be the chair and do we want to make Steve, Sean, the chair?
I'm happy to do it again. I don't need to do it. And I don't know if it makes sense to have an elected official be the chair since you're the only ones that can attend the other meetings. So it's up to you. Tell me.
Who's elected? Jerry and I?
And Mark.
I'm elected.
Yeah. Now, there'll be this
meeting.
Oh,
and John, yeah.
You'll chair this meeting, and then there'll be one more meeting during the year, and then start the next meeting a year from now. That's the extent of the chairmanship.
Yeah, so
what kind of work can be done?
I did sit down with Sean during the year when we talked about, we went through the prioritization criteria as the chair and talked about that issue and what else. Just the
issue we were having with the state and some of the disbursement of funds and those options.
How they want to steal all the money.
So. Right.
Yeah, get into the microphone for how they want to steal our money.
Gary's going to be going to the state, right? Need about what, Brent Lane?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it'd be better to have another elected officials. What I'm concerned about changing the funding formula around.
Yeah.
And hurting us. And I'm pretty advocate about the way they do is they take a portion of the money and they just divide it by seven, let's say. And so it's more than 60% and then the rest of you are poverty. And I just think that the reason for the money is for poverty. And if they want to take 90% of the money and divide it by seven and just use a little bit for poverty, it takes away from the purpose of the grant. And it really hurts our council. We lose about $300,000 in the proposed formula that she proposed last time. And we talked to the governor's office. My brother-in-law, who's the deputy chief of staff, whatever he is.
Mike Maurer.
Huh?
Mike Maurer.
Mike Maurer.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, you know Mike? Okay, so
I used to work for Go-Ed.
Huh?
I used to work for Go-Ed.
Okay, so I married his wife. Before, he was only 8 years old, so. I have nothing to do with that guy. But anyway, if Mike doesn't know a lot about it, then it's coming not from the governor's office, it's coming lower down the staff, I think. And we're the biggest population. I'm tired of San Juan getting half the money of everything. And Tooele County just lost $360,000 because they decided to form their own health department down in San Juan rather than to be a regionalized health department with Cardin County and San Juan and Grand and those. And so Tooele County lost $360,000 just because they wanted to come to our health department. It's kind of the same thing to me. We lose another $360,000 or whatever, and about 90 of that will go to San Juan. Very small population compared to Ogden, Ogden on their own, but compared to Weber and Morgan and Willa. The population base is up here, and we should be helping the majority of the people who are in poverty and not sending everything to San Juan.
Yeah, we'll get you this a little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Later. Anyway,
so would it be better that we have another elected person on there that might be good to be that state? I mean, two people in Florida might not be the best name.
Sure.
I know I have my passion, but maybe someone else could develop a passion if we don't start dividing.
Sam was at the meeting, and I went as the vice chair, and Sam was at the meeting. We were we were pretty vocal as far as giving our views, but Sam did a lot of the work in the background making sure we had help from other counties, because they were almost, what they were doing was they were almost politic, and they were going to take from three and spread it among the other four. So they pretty much posted buy-in votes as much as close as you could get. But Sam was able to reach out to some of the AOGs and get them to see that, you know, that wasn't the best thing to do. And so Sam did a lot of the background work. However, the elected is the one that makes the vote, and you need to be willing to to speak up.
The State Policy Committee rep, that's the next item on the agenda.
Yeah. And I had some friends that have run that committee, but I know Mark Richardson, Matthew Bernal, he's lost the election as county commissioner, so he won't be on that anymore, so.
We'll have to see who the
Make reference to the representatives, but I still think we need to watch that. They kind of dropped it last year, didn't they?
Well, the reason is put some pressure on us. But here's the issue. Used to be a straight line, what percentage of the population do you have, you get that percentage of the money. And we had Davis County, so we got a lot of the money. We dropped out, Davis County went out on their own. So we are now 30% of the population of the small cities program. But they said, oh, we would need to give these smaller areas at least a straight out cut. And so now we get 23% of the money. 30% of the bodies, 23% of the money. Excuse me. The proposal is to give us 12% of the money. That's a $300,000 cut. In other words, we get roughly $1 million, they're going to cut us to 700. And so we really balked. And Jerry and I strongly voiced our opposition. Washington County guy was the chair. He came over the top of the table about. And but it's going to be a fight. She told me about 2 weeks ago it's going to come out. So it's not. So.
Just as long as either the vice or the chairman are at least elected, I think.
Yeah, either way works. The issue is the policy committee represented, which could be any of you, must be an elected official. Doesn't have to be the chair or vice chair, but must be an elected official. So that's why earlier on, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we circulated that email saying, are you good with it?
Okay.
And that's why we want to reconfirm that today by vote here today,
okay,
that he is our policy committee representative.
Well, do I have any nominations?
Well, let me just ask. Now, your argument, and Sam, you tell me, does the chairman of this committee, is that going to affect holding on to our $1 million?
No, not really, because the policy committee representative doesn't need to be the same person.
Okay.
But Jerry does need to be an elected official.
Right.
Policy rep.
Okay. And we're allowed one policy rep on that?
One per AMG.
Okay.
So the person sitting there doesn't get to speak at the meeting that you're attending.
Well, yeah. When Jerry comes, he'll have plenty to say. Now, I'll be allowed to speak. I won't be allowed to vote. Jerry has the only vote.
Now, if Jerry's absent in the meeting, can't we set up with the vice?
Which we did last year. Logan was our rep, and he had a conflict.
Right.
And so we brought Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Is that the elected person?
It
to
does.
Vote?
Yes. It does.
Okay, so we just need at least one person that can go in case Jerry can't make it.
Well, and I'll throw this out. If you are going to confirm me as the policy commission rep, then can we split and at least have a chairman for our vice chairman from Morgan and one from Weaver, and that way we've all got some skin in the game no matter where we go.
Sure.
That be fair?
So we're back to chair and vice chair.
So how many meetings did you want to attend?
I don't want to attend anymore, but I've got plenty to attend.
This plus one.
Well, Sean, if we get Sean as the chair.
Yes.
That would represent Weaver, and then you're promoting?
But we need an elected.
But he's not elected.
I'm not elected.
So I could do vice chair, depending on meetings.
And then you could be vice chair.
So it should just be the two meetings a year that we have.
And we have those anyway. But it'd be nice to have you as a voting person in case Jerry couldn't make the meeting.
Sure, I understand.
If you could go to the state meeting.
Yeah.
Is a state meeting once a year?
No, there's a, it's going to be a meeting in May, and then there's a policy retreat in Kanab this year, I think it's in June. It was like the one you went up to at the, what you call it, up there in.
Zoom or what was it?
The Homestead.
Homestead.
Yeah, so it's going to be in Kanab this year. And then there'll be a meeting in October.
Okay.
So you can attend all those, right? Perfect.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to keep Sean as chair and.
Mark?
Is it Mark? Sean and John.
John.
Councilmember Barber from Morgan County is vice chair. I think that covers everybody.
Any other nominations?
One second.
Okay.
I make motion just for them and close.
Okay.
Okay.
So vote by acclamation, we okay, everybody, all right?
Yep.
All right, then we will move on to confirm the appointment of Jerry Houghton as policy committee representative.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Have a motion and a second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Who is the second?
Motion passes. Okay, we'll move to the minutes, approving the minutes from August 3rd, 2016. I had one change that I sent to Sam, that was on my last name, so nothing substantial.
I screwed up the last name of the chairman of the committee.
It's all right.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, I didn't know, so it must be okay, but.
Well, I had it right up above.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was right in.
Yeah, it was down in the body of the first sentence.
Two chairmans or something.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's all right, if I.
Couldn't happen to a nice.
Maybe if they get mad at me for being who I am, then I could just go back to that other name.
It wasn't me.
Now, we'll change it in minutes.
Okay, any other changes to the minutes? Okay, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, have a motion and a second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion is unanimous. Okay, statewide CDBG update, Sam.
Okay, we talked a little bit about it, that there's going to be a push from the staff person who I thought might be here. She said she should try, but hasn't come. Cheryl, right, that she hasn't given up on the idea of taking away a bunch of our money and giving it to basically Southeastern Utah Association of Governments. I think they'd be a winner, and Mountain Land would be a winner because they have just Summit and Wasatch counties in theirs. Five County would be a loser, we'd be a loser. Bragg up in Box Elder, Wilton Logan was a small loser. And Five County's a loser, and Six County's a winner.
Six County's a big winner.
What?
Six County's a big winner.
Yeah, Six County's the big winner. So, we need to do what we can to fight.
The other thing that bothers me, thing is when it comes to San Juan, they count all their Native American population also.
No, we made them take that out.
Oh, good, because they've done it in the other things. And they already get funding from BIA to fund a lot of the programs, so it's not fair to the other people that have this funding in their counties.
Okay. Sam, what's your suggestion on how we fight this?
Well, we need, let me talk to Andy first, because that's how we do it.
Okay.
That sounded good the first time. Because he knows the Jonathan Hardy over there. But my sense is that we're going to need to make phone calls.
Okay.
Okay, so as soon as I talk to Andrew, we'll let you know.
Because I don't know how about these people are working on the other side with the politicians and kind of getting people up there.
Yeah. Well, it appears to me that it's pretty much sure. It's not coming from the Boca.
It should be that he was.
Well, that's the overall agency now. And then she works within that. There's Housing Community Development, which has CDBG program, Community Impact Board, weatherization.
So it's one person that's driving this?
Basically, yeah.
And Cheryl Brown keeps telling me what's her staff name, so I don't buy that.
She's what?
Her staff is the one that you're recommending.
No, she's the staff.
Well, so she's...
And she is CDBG.
She's CDBG.
She is CDBG.
She has some help, but, I mean, she's 90% of it, I think.
So that was my question. Why does she want to change it? My other comment was, as we were looking at those last year, Summit County was so, that was so skewed, wasn't it? That Summit County, richest county in the, you know, and they were taking most of the money, if I recall. It's been a long, several months since I looked at that.
But they're through MAG. No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
They're through MAG.
But they were pulling a lot of money away from us.
They're aware.
Or from everybody. And why Summit County would, you know, I did not understand that at all.
Well, the problem I have is if this were unemployment rate or low income rate to income rate, we would be losers. But it's not. These are apples to apples comparison, low income people to low income people. So they're saying that a low income person in San Juan is more important than a low income person in Washington Terrace. That's what it comes down to.
Well, she wanted to see more stuff going to housing and less to infrastructure.
Well,
she didn't like what we were proposing to spend some of the money on, which infrastructure and stuff is important to some of these areas. I mean, get them off septic systems, get them on decent water systems and stuff.
Yeah, and they're as much public works oriented as we are. Their projects are the same. In fact, even more because they tend to buy a lot of fire trucks. So I don't know that they can make that argument that they're... She did like the idea that we had a prioritization criteria. Men's.
Hi all, sorry to interrupt, just wanted to say hello.
Yeah, we just wondering about you wanting to change the formula of this money fussed up.
About what now?
The money formula for the community, don't block that money from the state.
Right, you guys are going to work on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought you were supporting it.
Yeah, I'm supporting you is what I'm doing.
Supporting us.
Yeah, of course. We're here to help you.
What's the politics on that?
Well, I mean, I think that this is a pretty standard thing. Every region in the state is trying to maximize the amount of money they have to do the work that they want to do. And as I'm sure you guys have talked about, there's different ways to present the numbers to make a case.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a general effort underway in the state to try to help serve rural areas. And the irony of this, of course, is that there's a perception that, oh, well, the funds going to, quote, WFRC area are urban counties that have a lot of resources, when in reality, your area has arguably as much in common with some of the rural areas of the state as it does with Salt Lake County, even though you're closer, right? I mean, a smaller tax base to fund the services for your constituents. So, and that's, you know, even true in portions of Weber County.
Upper Ogden Valley,
Morgan. Right. So it's a little challenging, I think, for for your areas to, for an argument to be made that your areas should be regarded as, you know, that it makes sense to take resources away from your areas because you're in the more populous WFRC area with a higher tax base, when that doesn't actually, if you look at the different portions of the WFRC area, that doesn't really hold. Does that make sense, Sam?
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to say that if Summit County raises their taxes a dollar, Morgan and Tula County has to raise their taxes $15 just to come up with a dollar that Summit County raises because of the coffee value. So we don't really have as much as Salt Lake and Summit County and some of those other places. What I'm trying to figure out is, if Cheryl Brown comes up with this formula change, who do we put pressure above her not to make the change?
Well, this is something that...
Does it come from the governor's office, or...
And, you know, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong here, but this is something that when we had dialogue with the management in the Department of Workforce Services, they said, well, this was something that Cheryl had, on her own, had put forth. This was not a directive had come from the governor's office, and I think it probably comes with Cheryl working in concert with some of the other areas of the state. So, as they explained to us, and I haven't had any conversations on this of late, Sam, you may have had more recent conversations, but as they explained to us, this is a decision for the, what's the committee called, the CDBG, the statewide...
Statewide policy.
The statewide policy committee to make. It is not a decision that the department is going to make. They are going to look to that committee to make that decision. So
in terms of... strong in that committee.
You do.
This is our policy and not... Yeah.
So I think that it is, the strategy on this is, should be focused on dialogue with the other members of that committee. And then we can reinforce with the state, with Jonathan Hardy, for example, who is... Cheryl is in Jonathan's department, and he is the one that we talked to who said, we, DWS, are not putting forward this proposal to try to advocate for it. It's an option to make this change, but that is something for the policy committee to decide. And the point that Sam and I had made to them was, there's not enough money for any area to do what needs to be done. So rather than trying to divide up a relatively small pot of money, with winners and losers, let's work together on a broader strategy to try to get the resources that we need to address our needs, not fight over cutting up a pot that's already too small, and split ourselves apart when we should be working together.
So my understanding, how much money is out there? Is it $1 million, $2 million, $10 million?
There's $4.5 million in the entire small cities program. We get about $1 million.
Okay, so there's $4 million.
About 30%.
And like 50% of it already is taken into consideration, and it's divided by 7. And that's a base for everybody. So they have a base amount of money. Then the other 50% or 40% is divided by the population of the poverty, people who are needed. And I think already the formula addresses giving a base to every council or region to be able to do projects, and then it's based on your number of people in need in your area.
Yeah, that's right. There's so, already an element so in the formula to help the rural areas because they don't have that population base.
Her,
that's there already.
Last I saw, I think it was like 80%. So instead of taking a certain amount of a base, which is like half almost, maybe 60%, I can't remember, but then she wants to increase it to 80% or more, divide it by 7. They just have a little bit of money to look at the needs of the population. When my understanding is the real reason for this grant from the federal government or wherever it comes from is to take care of the people below poverty that you need to bring resources to. And so when you just divide it by 7, you're not really looking at the true intent of the grant. That's my personal thought. I think it already has a base that gives everybody a little bit of money but to go ahead and dilute it, we're really losing $300,000. We have a rich population of need. It's not really fair.
Yeah, well, we have 30% of the low to moderate income population of the Small Cities Program. We get 23% of the money today. Proposal is to take us to 12% of the money.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. So like to your point, there's already part of the formula for distributing the money already is taking resources out of our area to give to other areas. Mm-hmm. And they want to exacerbate that. So, yeah.
Right. So,
well, I just wanted to say hello. So I,
Thanks for stopping by.
We were going to talk about it earlier. We haven't done it yet, but we need to.
Okay.
Because so, we are going to meet probably early May.
The policy committee will meet?
So yeah, we need to talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to see you all. Thanks all for being here.
Thanks, Andrew. Good to see you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
Sam, do you have any names on that policy committee? Any of the other names?
Not yet. I'll get them to you.
All right.
Well, it helps because last time he gave it to us, because I was able to work with county commissioners, and I took Mayor Dunleavy to Quilla to work on his mayor.
Okay. Tell you what, I'll put on my list to find out, and then I'll circulate an email and say who knows who.
Well, and the issue is going to be is you're going to have people that are going to be the benefactors of that cut that have policy people on the policy board too as well, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So they go.
So that you got a double-edged sword there.
They see a pile of cash, they're going for it.
Well, it's like 4-3. Four was going to benefit by the formula, and three of us was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I had Mark, I think it was Richardson from Vernal, convinced that that's not the right thing to do. And so I
that's the only argument you have.
Yeah, I had one other.
Yeah.
That you know you're already subsidizing everybody already. Why do we need to take a need away more from the population?
They already get all that CID money. We don't have access to. Well, Grantsville got some issue.
Yeah, but Wendover benefits the most.
Yeah. I think that it needs to be conveyed, and everybody needs to strongly understand that it's just one person. It's not the
Workforce services. It's not coming down from above.
It's not coming down from somebody else. It's one person. Not that one person. Folks that walk in, you got to be nice to her. You know, she's over the whole thing.
They have a good relationship with her.
Good option. Going to visit John Pierpont, who's her director. And having a discussion there. And John, and I worked with John on a couple of projects, but John is the director of Workforce Services, and just having a discussion, don't attack him, but say, John, here's our issues. And John will give you a fair hearing as long as you're not biased in it, but I think John would very definitely listen to you, because if you're having issues in this, and we had some issues down in some stuff going on down in Utah County, with some workforce services stuff, and he was very fair and listening to what was going on and worked with us to get it right. And we'll work with the employees to make sure the situation is going right. But I think you've got to go to the director if that's what the issues are, because he will sort it out.
Okay.
He's very proactive.
Well, I think the policy committee would be the first way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will find out who the members are and circulate and say who can talk to who.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for that update.
And thank you for saving it this year for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was expecting only 800,000 total, so yeah. To get our million, thank you, whoever, you know, did that. That was good work.
All right. We'll now review and approve the draft 2017 annual action plan.
It's basically the same as last year with 2017 dates in it.
Okay. Any questions or comments about that? All right. Do we need a motion on that one?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, number, item number seven, rate and rank the 2017 CDBG projects.
Just a second. Okay. This is based on the criteria that was substantially reworked this last year. We've had this criteria more or less for a long time with Lenise. And Cheryl went through line by line with this last year, and we changed a fair bit.
Yeah.
And then we also gave double points to housing projects that were to serve people coming out of homelessness.
Right.
That project didn't materialize.
Unfortunately.
So, but we did rejigger the priority. Projects for housing get two points, and projects for public works get 1 point. And you can see how we scored it. Children's Justice Center, based on the vote last year, comes right off the top. Twillow County, administration planning, visited basically me for $50,000 to do all the paperwork and go to the meetings all the year. So. Washington Terrace did come in first, head and shoulders above the competition, really. For request was $198,000. Weber County, County Housing Rental Assistance. And the rental assistance program is to people who are actually having an eviction notice. This is to pay 1 month's rent to give them time to sort things out. Okay? And it's up to $500. That's all it is. And so that, based on 30,000 actual disbursement, 3,000 administrative, that'll help a lot of families.
The rental assistance is there a requirement that it's possible that they pay that rental feedback, or is it just a complete grant?
It's a grant. Yeah, but these are people who don't have money. I mean, they're getting booted out of their apartment because they can't pay rent. South Ogden City is next with a water line replacement. They have basically a water line was put in the 1970s and just needs to go away. So they'll do the water line, repave the street. Next item is Huntsville Town. And this year, this last year, you guys approved money for them to do two things. So replace a 90-year-old water line, which has been done, and to drill a well, which was actually drilled 3 weeks ago. And they've just, under the skin of their teeth, met the requirement that they spend down 50% of the money. They've done that.
Good.
Okay. And they did hit water, and now they need to get a power to a pump house, and you build a pump house, and then get a line from there down into the city. And this would provide a secondary water source for the city. And the one thing you should note there is it's $200,000 this year and $200,000 next year. So it would be ongoing. It's a big hit. But
have they gone in and got it?
We got a lot of money from the Community Impact Board because a city resident sat on the Community Impact Board.
I've sat on the water board for the state for years, and a lot of communities, that their water rates that pay like $10 a month, $15 a month. And is there, based on your median income, and they have how much that you should be paying for water or sewer. And so I don't know if that's part of their application, but usually you can go into the Division of Drinking Water, and they'll give a figure what you should be paying for your monthly water bill. Because a lot of times people just don't put any money towards a fund balance. So when things come up like a well goes out or a pump, there's money there to take care of it. And if you give everything 100% grant to somebody, it's not going to make it responsible.
Yeah, we...
What's that?
We see that a lot.
Morgan County was kind of...
We're shaking our heads.
Shaking our heads, yes.
We see that a lot.
And so it's expressing that people don't want to raise the rate on themselves in order to put money away, but they always want somebody to come in and pay for it for them. The Division of Drinking Water will look at that and the rates, and if it depends on what their income level, they'll give us 0% interest or 1% or whatever. And I don't know what the extent that this is Huntsville, right?
Yeah, now, the thing here is, it's a $778,000 project. They're asking for $400,000. So they are putting in some of their own money. A lot of this money is some of the CIB money. But at the same time, the town only has about 700 residents. So there's not a lot of capacity there to raise money. So, but it would just make sure you see right up front, it's going to be $200,000 this year and $200,000 next year. Okay, that spends us down to around $115,000 in the kitty. Marriott Slaterville wanted $400,000, $200,000 this year and $200,000 next year, of which they're putting in, that's a $573,000 project. And this is a secondary irrigation project to serve, I think, 12 houses altogether and put in curb gutter and sidewalk. And criteria number 13 that you adopted, if we cannot fully fund a project, which would be $85,000 short here, or then we can skip over that project and fund, you know, whatever comes next, which would be Weber County Down Payment Assistance. And this would give a down payment money to people, to low-income people to buy a house. We're basically getting people out of rentals and into houses. And the next item would be Uinta City, and $30,000 for fire equipment. And this buys them the jaws of life, you know, where you stick in and push open. And there's a couple of other pieces of equipment like that. We bought them the oxygen mask and the air bottles last year. And one other thing, I forget. We did fund you in last year. And so they got 0 points on that particular item because we gave them money last year. And then that would leave $27,000, which doesn't really buy much with North Ogden Big Water Line Replacement Project or Plain City Road Resurfacing Project or Morgan's $187,000 or $210,000 for bathrooms. So Cheryl suggested that we apply that $27,839 to Tooele County for this year. Okay, which so instead of
$200,000... So we don't lose it to somebody else.
Right. And otherwise, we would lose.
And then you take it away in the following year.
From 2018, yeah.
Yeah, so you get...
So it gives us more money.
You get an extra $27,000 up front, and then lose it in 2018. So that's the proposal. We did have just FYI, we did have a tiebreaker between Huntsville and Marriott Slaterville. And the tiebreaker is first, their prioritization, which is housing, and then second, public works. Well, they're both public works, so they're still tied. So the next tiebreaker is, which city has the highest property tax rate? And Marriott Slaterville is 43% of the state maximum, and Huntsville is 46%. It was that close. So Huntsville wins the tiebreaker.
Is Huntsville, you're more familiar with people from there, the Morgan area, on there. Is it mainly all low-income people there?
No.
There's a lot of wealthy people that are building up there now. See, that's our problem is we have
high income.
We have high income people that can help us all day.
There's some old timers right in Huntsville Town, but for the most part, it's new people building large homes.
Building large homes on the outskirts and tapping into the water system.
It's a very nice area.
So on the water project, it's a $700,000 water project. The 50% match, is it actually out of their pocket or is it other?
That I don't know. I don't know where those funds are coming from.
There is a... I can look it up.
Well, I'm on drinking water. I'm on water quality. I'm on the sewer part, but I was on the drinking water for 8 years. And this is why I'm kind of thinking, if they're getting grant money from somebody else for 50% and they're matching that 50% with this money, they're getting a whole water system for nothing. It'd be interesting what the water rates are that the people are paying per month.
I don't know. As a matter of fact, I just talked to Mayor Truitt from Huntsville just this morning on another issue. But he was, the other issue we were, he was having trouble with second homes. A lot of people, they don't even live up there all year long.
They pay 100% property tax.
They just live up there.
They don't require the second home. We run into that in our county. And then we have to discover who's in the second home and who's not. Because we have to do an Airbnb and rent them out.
That's my primary home if you're up in the area.
Okay, hopefully I can tell you here in a minute. Huntsville. Their water rates are 12.34 for a 1 inch, 38 for a half.
There you go.
Number eight.
That's the monthly charge.
Okay, Huntsville Town is kicking in $42,000 of their own money and $192,000 of the CIB money that they're getting.
So it's almost all grant funded.
Yeah, $234,000 non-CDBG money in their project. And then $400,000 from us, maybe $200,000 a year.
I'm sure they can get it. You know, because look at the medium income of people and what they pay. The minimum rate for a 1 inch line is $10 a month. $2.50 for the it's $20 a month for 2,500 gallons. Anyway, that's my only concern. If you've got people who could pay for something and
not charge them what they should.
Well, Jerry's going through a thing where he has a subdivision with 18 people in it, $1.6 million.
Got $800,000 as a grant and then the rest 0% interest loan for 30 years. But that makes us have to charge them $123 a month.
So I started to think, you know, in my mind, you've got 700 people living there, and they're paying $42,000 out of the whole grant,
$778,000.
And they may have that already in the fund balance. But there isn't much of a fund balance because of a water system we probably want. Enough to at least put a new well in. I mean, a new pump. Pump goes out. And,
well,
let me just you say the monthly water bill was. What did you say there?
It starts out at $10 a month, and then $2.50 for every 1,000 gallons.
It's hard to look at that. You got to figure out what they've got to have a minimum, or I would hope they'd have a minimum just to sustain the system.
$10.
What is it?
$10.
So that's their minimum?
Yeah.
That's a dang good cheap one.
Mm-hmm. That seems a little low. That would be lowest in the.
It'd be interesting to get the Division of Drinking Water's input on this a little bit.
Okay, let me just mention on their income levels. There's about 700 people in the town, and so they did a door-to-door survey on income, and 54% of the people in 2015 were low to moderate income. That is, the highest is 80% of area median income. So, yeah, there's some really high buck houses in Huntsville City, but most of them are out and around and not in the town.
In the county.
Yeah.
In the unincorporated.
Right, in the valley.
Yeah, but in the town itself, there's 54% low to moderate income.
That's interesting.
And, yeah, it's a, there's a few folks with 30% area median income, some more 50, mostly 80, it looks like. 80% of area median income. Well, there's a fair bunch of 50s. So, yeah, there's a lot of folks that are just getting by. And so this was a door-to-door survey certified by the state.
It's got to be a small area.
Well, they had to, because of the size of the town, and 700 residents, they had to survey 398.
So there's a lot of same individuals, since there's 398 into 700.
Right.
Well, those included households of up to 8 or 9 people.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you had surveyed up to 9 people per house?
Well...
They only had to survey one person
at each door.
In the house.
Yeah.
But then the person would say, well, 6 people live here. And so that counts as 6, you know, of that 398. And then there's a sliding scale for income based on a 6-person household. They have to make so much. And then, so...
Is that just, that's just a verbal interview, or they have to...
They have to fill out a form.
Okay. But just filling out a form.
How many people live here? What's your income? And then there's a straight line, you know, number given us by housing urban development of what a 6-person household should make.
So if we approve their water system, we have to approve it for 2 years?
Yes. And the same would be true of Marriott Slaterville. Theirs is a 2-year project.
So what?
So their project would only serve 12 households.
So what was Tooele's? Was Tooele's a 3-year?
2.
The children.
Well, it was 3 last year. Yeah.
3, and then right. We scooted so we could get it. You were in a...
The only reason I'm saying it is I just would like some more data in order to give it another $200,000 of borrowing year.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It just feels a little uncomfortable where... The following year, if we might need the money for a priority, and if they could go out and get funding for $200,000.
They hit a 0% interest loan on the EQ if they applied for it, my suspicion, based on their water rates.
The EQs are making it raise their water rate.
To pay for it.
To pay for it.
I get that.
Yeah.
The if you want to change the evaluation criteria...
That's what we'd have to do.
Yeah,
change
that would be difficult to change.
Well, it would be right to change it now. But
right.
Right.
Something for us to look at for the future.
Yeah. And yeah. I'd probably, after we approve this, I'd probably go in and look that a little closer. I'd probably myself go
down. Well, the issue I see is you're pre-committing $400,000 for 2018, and if we get a 30% haircut...
Yeah.
Now we're only going to net $300,000, right?
Oh, yeah. That'll really kill us next year if that happens. $300,000
or $600,000, one of the two.
Yeah. But at the same time...
Yeah.
It's going to be tough either way.
It's either that or Huntsville is the issue.
But, no, what Cheryl was proposing, too, was to cut the multiple-year projects, but that was down to the 2 years, right?
Yeah. We used to do 3-year projects, which is how you guys came
right.
in.
Right.
And then she cut it to 2. And she also cut all economic development projects.
Well, you've got, just defending Huntsville a little bit on there, you know, Sean and I kind of know the area, but, you know, they have an infrastructure problem up there, too, because during the summertime, you know, they have thousands of cars every day that travel their roads to get to Pine View Reservoir.
They need a toll road, you said?
What's that?
They need a toll road?
Well, he had a toll road at one time,
yeah.
And I says, hey, make us
don't
feel good, so we're not the only...
Don't give Mountain any ideas.
Yeah, I said, don't make us feel bad, we're the only toll road in Utah. that it's a private, it's not, I don't get any money off of it, not a dime. But yeah, I told Mayor Truitt, I said, you gotta put the toll road up there again.
We can do that on Trapper's Loop.
You could, see? You could.
Yeah. So there's a lot of condos up in that area?
84, not inside Huntsville, but...
Yeah, in the valley, yes. Yeah, a lot, there's a lot of condominium projects up in Wolf Creek in those areas.
So if you go to Commissioner's, they all tax us off that one?
What taxes there are, yes.
According to the residents of Huntsville, that's all the money.
Trying to say, most of recreation in the Upper Valley in the summertime...
Yeah.
Goes right through Huntsville Town every single day, back and forth, back and forth.
Do you have much of a grocery store or anything?
No, they have a little market, they have a restaurant.
There's a Lee's Market up there?
Used to be Leon's.
So you really can't suck their top sales tax in from the people going through the...
No, you don't get anything from them.
So there's nothing to buy there, so you have to buy your stuff where you go, so the people are in habit of not...
Pretty much, there's a couple, I don't know where the gas station...
I ran down to Ogden and get it.
There's a gas station out of Huntsville Town, it's still technically in Huntsville Town, but it's across Highway 39.
So is that not incorporated, technically, I don't know.
No, it's, they annexed that in.
Okay, so they do have a gas station.
Have you some sales tax?
They have a gas station, an Ace Hardware, and a Subway, and that's about it for business.
And they are gonna get a hotel.
They're in Stockton, huh?
Aren't you gonna get the hotel up there yet?
In Morgan?
Yeah, is it gonna be in Morgan City, or is it gonna be just in the county?
Well, we're still working on that. Hopefully it's Morgan City.
We're in negotiation.
So, we go four steps forward and six steps back, so we're coming back up on it.
Yeah, we looked at buying the land for the hotel last year, and we couldn't do it. And then they took out economic development projects, so...
Well, our problem's the same as Huntsville area. If you were to take in all that area, the pricing of the houses up there are just phenomenal. So if you look at ours at Mountain Green, Porterville, we're out of all kinds of grant money.
Yeah, well, that's why, really, the only thing that qualified is these ADA bathroom projects.
Yeah.
And they do qualify, but the problem is they just haven't scored that well compared to some of these others. We would have to change the criteria just for them to score better.
Well, I have friend Brian Banyan, tenant health officer at Weaver Morgan, and his house is up there by Huntsville someplace. I don't know if it's in Huntsville or not, but it's a nice area to live. But property's probably pretty expensive now.
But on the criteria, if we were to change it in the future, we can't change everything, so which ones would be something that we could change?
Well, the problem with comparing water rates is we get a lot of non-water projects. And so how do you score that?
Yeah.
And...
No, I get that. I can see the next thing, like Stockton, when they had a problem with the sewer system, $4 million. They came to the board here, and they got a grant to help pay for people who didn't have money to hook onto water system that was below poverty, and they used that grant money to hook people onto the sewer system. So you get some people here and there. But they only used the money for people who qualified, and they actually turned money back, because they didn't use that much. A lot of people say, I'm not gonna use any government money, I'm gonna pay for it myself. You can hear that before. I'm fine approving this, hopefully they try to get as much funding as possible, and they're not getting a handout for almost everything.
Sure.
Because they haven't raised their water rate, as I'll hope is a year. It would be interesting to look what the state required, and if we can encourage them to have their water rate be at least with the minimum. By the Department of Water Quality, suggest for water rate, so they put away money for a fund balance to take care of repairs and depreciation.
What we could do is, in the criteria, say, does your water rate meet the state minimum recommended? recommended minimum, well, the rate. Is there a state recommended minimum?
It goes based on the income level. So they take the income values like the survey, and they'll say, this is what your rate should be for your water system. In order to qualify for grant money, you have to be to this level.
It would be difficult to give them points or not points, because there's a lot of non-water projects, but we could say, you know, you won't qualify for even to submit unless you meet the state recommended minimum.
Yeah, unless you raise your water rate to...
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In that way, yeah.
Okay, so that would be basically a 15th criteria.
For a water project, you have to meet this criteria in order to apply.
For sewer also.
Yeah, sewer rates as well.
For sewer and water.
Yeah, we do a lot of sewer projects.
If you're in sewer projects, you have the same, so the sewer districts are meeting their minimum fund balance.
Good point.
How about this, if they meet the min, to get it, they have to comply with the minimum. Because here's a problem we have, is we were going to try and raise our rates so that we could start to pay for these and have the fund balance. But then to qualify, if you show that people can afford to pay a higher rate, I mean, it's one of those backward things, then you may not qualify. So they wanted to show, to qualify, you had to show first they were below the median income level, and then the next one, that your rate was there and you couldn't raise your rate because those people couldn't afford to pay the higher rate. So it ends up, you know, a double-edged sword. You know, you want, at the end, we're going to be charging more than what the recommended rate is. And in the beginning, they said, well, if you raise it, then it will affect your application for the money because now you're showing they can afford it. Why weren't you collecting this before? So it just becomes one of those things, you know.
One
side, they're saying, yeah, you need to charge the recommended rate, but the other one, to qualify, show your depressed water system, you have to show that these people can't afford that rate, so.
Yeah, you have to be right in the middle.
Right.
So if we're already charging in your system $120 a month, they say, well, you don't get the 0% interest because they can afford to pay $120 a month. But the other thing that came back and said, one time they went forward and they were only paying $25 or $30 a month, they says, need to raise it, so then they raised it to 50. So they could pay, when that time it was a $400,000 a month. And then the county commissioners wouldn't sign it. But, and then when Jerry tried to look at the thing, you raised it to $65.
$65, yeah.
And you shot over that.
Well, for us.
But anyway, it'd be interesting what the average monthly water rate is, because you can see that the how much is for the minimum and then how much per gallon. But it'd be interesting what the average homeowner is charged for their drinking water.
Maybe it's just a letter confirming that they will raise the rates if they are awarded them.
Well, the criteria would be, do you currently meet the state recommended standard for minimum water rates? Mm-hmm. You know, based on your population's income and size, whatever. And I know there's a sliding scale, but the question is yes or no, do you currently meet that? If you don't, please don't apply.
Yeah. The reason why I think it's good to do that is, okay, they get the grant, they kick in $42,000, but if they do raise the rate, they're actually keeping their own money. They're higher, saying, hey, we have to charge a higher rate in order to get this money. But also it helps us to be able to put money away in case we have to replace a well again, or have to add an additional well or additional water tank. So it helps. Sometimes it's really hard in those small communities to increase the revenue coming in. People just, we had a town called Ophir, and most of it's owned by people have, I call them millionaires, but their property tax for the whole community collected was $470 a year. It was a total collection of property tax around the city. Now, you can't rent a city on board, but nobody wanted to raise the rate because there's only 50 people basically lives in that area. And so they debunked, and now the county gets to have those areas, and their taxes are going to go up 10 times because we have a municipal service fund. But they would never raise rates, sometimes like in Huntsville or these small areas are less than a couple thousand people. It's really hard to do good budgeting.
Well, Sam, can you just bring us, for our next meeting, when we talk about qualifications, maybe bring us that sliding scale?
Yeah, well, I'll find out what the state...
Kind of research that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll find out what the state recommended.
Yeah, those guys at Gankwater would probably be glad to come over and just talk to us.
Yeah, and then so the...
Well, John Mackey's on water quality, and then I was thinking of, his name is Green, the guy came up to Twilla.
Michael Grange?
Michael Grange. He might be interested just to come and talk about water rates and...
Okay, well, I'll draft up a...
This is an educational thing.
It'll be a sentence, but it'll be a yes or no question you currently meet.
You're going to do that with sewer as well?
Yes, sewer and water. Okay.
Is there any one of these items that anybody's concerned about or we raised or didn't award, awarded to? The green is what numbers you came out so we could at least zero out, not leave anybody in the pot, but those were the projects we were able to fund based on the ranking criteria.
The greens will get the money, and it will be a zero balance at the end.
Okay, now can you explain to me on the Marriott Slaterville why they were passed over, you said, with item 13?
It was a tiebreaker.
No, this was a little bit different, but explain to me because...
There wasn't enough for their money.
We may have to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were 85, they wanted...
$200,000.
Right, okay.
$200,000 for this year, and we were $85,000 short of being able to do that.
Okay.
And so...
So why don't they get $85,000?
Well, they would...
Because it doesn't fund the entire...
They would get $120,000.
If we commit a portion and they don't, what if they don't have the money to make the project?
Right.
And they're saying, this is what we need, this is what we can afford to put the whole project together.
Yeah, so...
I guess, is there a provision that says that we need to ask the applicant if what we have left is going to work for them?
Can you come up with an additional $85,000?
Right.
There's not...
Because you were quick to say that item number 13 allowed or forced us to go to the next person.
It doesn't force you, it allows you.
Okay.
And so if in your judgment that we can't fully fund the project, that you as a body are allowed to jump over them and fund the next projects. It's my recommendation of staff that we do that.
Yeah,
but it's your decision.
Yeah.
I mean, you could give them the money and say, you know, do what you can with it and cut.
And then if they don't, it turns back in, but then it goes to the big, the larger state.
Yeah, we would lose the money if they couldn't use it.
I don't think that makes sense.
And anything we don't spend, they take away from us and spread out somewhere else.
Would you like to award the $85,000 to the Marriott Slaterville?
It would be $115,000.
It would be $115,000? I don't know. I feel like we should ask them. Well, you know, we go back these multi-years, and I'm on record on this meeting and many other meetings in the county that I don't agree with multi-year funding on in any board. So that, you know, that's my deal. So I don't really like multi-year because it does the same thing. Next year, we're in trouble. We know we only have 600,000, and we could only have 300,000. So I don't like multi-years at all. But
so in the future, you'd like to go to one?
Well, that's for a future meeting. That shouldn't be discussed here, but when we go down.
Well, okay, we could put that on the agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah, it's just a discussion. When we talk about the sewer and water, we could discuss that, but... So,
you know, they're usually big enough projects that it often takes a 2-year project.
I know, and if you do that, then Tooele County would have never got that Children's Justice Center. You know, I mean, there's great projects that need more than $250,000 a year, and they could use it for multi-years. I understand that, but when you only got $100 million to work with, I think that should be for smaller projects.
We can give each year.
You can give up to $250,000. For a public works project, or actually, we give it all for some other kind of project. We haven't done that.
Now, okay. The problem with the Children's Justice Center, you could not all in 1 year, but then you take all the money from 1 year.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so I'm okay with this. Like I say, just explain to me how I can, if the mayor of Marriott Slaterville comes to me and says, wait a minute, and sees this and says, why do we get passed over? Give me a good explanation of why we did, I guess. You know, you may be in the same boat.
Yeah, and I would tell him, well, Mayor, we couldn't fully fund your request, and so the recommendation was made by the WFRC staff that we fund the next two projects that we could fund fully, and that you can reapply next year.
Yeah, I can explain it.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only explanation I could offer. It's not...
Well, that's the reason why we do it, is because when you're asking for $200,000, and he's got a $500,000 project, more than that, almost $600,000.
Yeah, okay. That'll work. Because if they would have got, you know, honestly, if they would have got a few more points...
Well, they were within 3% of their tax rate of...
Wow.
Beating Huntsville. I mean, literally, it was that close.
Okay. And if they would have gotten one more point somewhere else, they could have got theirs fully funded, and then...
Huntsville would be in the same position.
In the same position.
In the same position.
Huntsville would have been without it.
Okay.
I feel better about the Huntsville, because you're actually affecting more people. We talked about 11 homes in the...
12 homes.
And then...
That would be the project.
Tell them to raise their taxes and apply next year.
Yeah. And the other issue is...
Well, I'll tell you a secret. They don't have a property tax in Marriott Slaterville.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no businesses there.
Oh, there's a ton of businesses there.
There's a lot of business, yeah.
Oh, there is?
They just got Sierra RV.
Oh.
From Sunset.
Oh, they're a lot better off than what Huntsville is.
Sunset's screaming.
Yeah, they are.
Sunset's in trouble.
Yeah, they, well, that was their fault.
Well, they wouldn't give up the park.
Sunset's starting to disappear.
So...
Is there anything else? Because if not, then I'll make a motion to...
Just FYI, Marriott Slaterville got a pretty good sized project 2 years ago.
Right.
That slum of blight, they bought that old dump. It was a garbage, well, a junkyard.
Yes.
And you paid to remove that, and then they came in, there were 32,000 short, and you gave them the extra 32,000.
Yeah, we treated them well.
Right.
And that was before we set a limit of 250,000 a year, because I think they ended up with 350,000 one year.
It was a chunk. It was before my time as school administrator.
Yeah, so I think they've been...
Okay, don't feel guilty about...
Okay, no, don't feel guilty.
Jerry, quick, make the motion.
Yeah, question on the motion.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve the 2017 rating and project rating and rankings. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion passes.
John, you told people in Huntsville you took care of them.
Yeah. And maybe they ought to vote for that exit in Mountain Green, huh?
There you go.
We only need 65 million.
67
million?
67.
That's down, so they're projected.
Wow.
And what's the point? I-4 coming up.
Interchange.
Interchange in Mountain Green.
That's why we either didn't do that or do a toll road at Trappers Loop. Two-thirds of the traffic on Old Highway are going up over...
Snow Basin.
Going up Snow Basin or over Ogden Valley.
Yeah.
Well, we were getting on board with this.
We want to do that project. A normal box stop interchange is around 42 million. But because the railroad's so close, they've got to do some fancy engineering.
You got to do it like what Summit County did on that one.
Well, now we've got some interesting engineering. We've got this big 13,000 acre ranch that's now for sale on the south side of that road. And if that develops out, we're going to have to have...
Freeway.
Have the access going over across the river to that. So we've got to develop multi-use, so we'll do the north side with potential south side development down the road.
Who's going to put the bridge over the railroad and the river?
I don't know. We'll have to have it engineered for that eventual use.
Yeah, developer's going to have to probably...
Developer will have to sub up for that. You've got $46 million ranch for sale over there. And Vicky Varela's Tickle Pink, if they develop it out, be the 15th ski resort in Utah. We'll take two more than...
All that will do is just raise our per capita income, so we're...
Why are you guys even here, right?
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering why we're on Wasatch Front Regional Council, too.
You guys change your job.
We can't get any money out of them, but...
We gave you $10,000 for your study, what, about 8, 9 years ago? And then another $10,000 for Vision Morgan.
That's good. Well, we get money. But I'm just looking at this, so...
Well, we can maybe bump up the points for ADA projects that we could do, maybe.
Yeah.
Something to look at.
We're just pleased to be able to apply, that's all. And you did a lot of work on it for us too, so.
Yeah.
All right.
That bathroom in the courthouse needs to go.
Yeah, we'll reapply next year.
All right.
Let's go ahead and set the date for our next meeting in May or June. Sam, did you have some dates you wanted to propose?
No, but I did want to look at calendars with you and see what works for you.
May or June, you say?
Yeah, early June would be better. And what this will be is to look at the criteria and see what you want to rejigger and add points.
You want to do it on Monday?
The 5th of June?
That's what I'm thinking. Does that work with everybody?
I could do that.
Let me look real quick.
Lunch meeting good for everybody?
June 5th?
Yeah.
So we have two meetings a year?
Basically.
I am not available June 5th.
Yeah.
5th through the 9th, I'm not available.
May 30th, day after Memorial Day?
Ooh, that's not good.
Okay.
What about the 19th?
Of May?
June, or is that too late in June?
About 12th.
I am okay with the 12th.
12th, that weekend went scout camp for a week.
Lucky guy. You better take this meeting.
Take your car.
The ultimate test.
Which camp are you going to?
I think it's Schofield.
Oh, no.
Is that bad?
Take your lightning detector.
Oh, jeez.
I used to work for the Boy Scouts.
Is that a good camp?
It's a nice camp. Take your lightning detector.
Okay.
What about May 22nd through the 26th sometime?
May what?
22nd through the 26th.
That'd be all right with me.
I've got a SEDS meeting on the 22nd here at 1.
Yeah, the 22nd is a bad day for me.
Oh.
21st to be okay.
Wednesday?
Wednesday, the 21st.
Wednesday, May 21st.
No, we're in May.
You're in May?
Yeah.
May.
Which day did you say, the 20?
Well, apparently 23rd, 24th.
23rd or 24th would be okay.
Yeah, well, 24th, 25th, 26th, I'll be at a weird conference.
About 23rd?
That'd be fine.
Tuesday, May 23rd?
Going.
So which day?
Tuesday, May 23rd.
Okay, I'm good.
Noon?
Noon.
Noon, okay. And Sam, will you send out an invitation?
Yes.
All right.
I'm just gonna look for residents down here to where I can. Because I just turn around and come right back down here for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have any other business?
Just FYI, I'll look over a couple of these ideas for the criteria and then call you.
Okay.
And one of them will be the, do they meet the minimum standards for sewer and water? And maybe some extra points for ADA, and those are the three items.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Well, then I will take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
So moved.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
You have a chairman of the board.
Oh.
So we went about with John, because we want a new facility study, kind of like what Tool County is doing.
Okay, let me see if I can find out on that policy meeting is.
So John, what do you think about that interchange right there?
Sewer water?
Oh, yeah.
Right by the, you know where the exit would be, the rest area is?
Yeah, that'd go right through there.
It'd be a straight line. And it'd open all that up for all this economic, you know, all the city center and the Lackawanna Green wants it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We'd get a grocery store.
That would be nice. That makes a lot of sense. Would you close down the other exit down there?
Well, you don't.
You don't?
Not allowed.
Okay, that'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, have you been off that exit?
April 4th.
When they have now, I'm sure you have.
Oh, I've been thousands of times.
Same places.
As you're getting on, it's just, because you've got all these trucks coming over.
Will you send that?
Well, it's just, you gotta go that old road.